You're listening to Quran 30 for 30, the Ramadan podcast that reconnects us with the beautiful words of God, one juz a day, with your hosts, Sheikh Omar Suleiman, Sheikh Abdullah Oduro, and a new guest. Let's experience the beauty of the Quran.
All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we got a complaint the other day, not enough turbans on our Quran 30 for 30. So we decided that, you know, due to popular protest, we bring back turbans. So we're bringing turbans back, alhamdulillah. So we have Mufti Abdurrahman with us again, alhamdulillah. Very happy to have him with us again. Welcome back to the show, Sheikh.
Jazakallah khair. I appreciate that. And I'm sure I will wear my turban every time I come for Yaqeen. I will
always. Inshallah. And inshallah, I want to remind everyone, Sheikh Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome once again. Jazakallah. As always, every night. We want to remind everyone, inshallah, that this coming Wednesday, bidnillahi ta'ala, we'll be having our Ramadan Strong telethon. Finish Strong Telethon, which focuses on the last 10 nights of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala, making sure that we are ready, inshallah ta'ala. So that'll be 5 hours. It'll be from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. At the end of it, we'll have a dua, inshallah, we can all make together. So you can tune in throughout the day. And bidnillahi ta'ala, make sure that you catch the dua at the end, bidnillahi ta'ala, as we go into the 21st night of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. And to remind everyone, inshallah, you have an opportunity now, inshallah, if you click on the link, to put in your sadaqah to distribute over the last 10 nights of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. So whatever amount it is, to have something that will be, that would, inshallah ta'ala, enhance the chances of us catching Laylatul Qadr and support the free content that Yaqeen puts out, inshallah ta'ala. So jazakumullahu khairan. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we will start. Alhamdulillah, salatu wasalam wa rasulullah wa alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So in the last surah, in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 78, Allah Azza wa Jal calls us Muslims for the first time in following the tradition of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and really gives us this noble title and gives us this noble standing in this position that we are amongst those who can make proper claim to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then we get into Surah Al-Mu'minun, Juz 18. So subhanAllah, right after we're told to follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, of Abraham, and be called Muslims, then the next surah is the believers. And what are the qualities of al-mu'minun? What are the qualities of the believers? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Verily, the believers are successful. They have succeeded. And subhanAllah, at the end of the surah, by the way, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. So verse 117 of Surah al-Mu'minun, the al-kafirun, the disbelievers, will not succeed. And here, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the believers have attained success, the first verse. And it starts to give these beautiful qualities. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those who in prayer humble themselves. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّهُ مُعْرِضُونَ, those who avoid vain talk. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ, those who observe zakat. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, those who strictly guard their private parts. إِلَّا عَلَى أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ, except for their wives or whom their right hands possess. For them, there is no blame, or they are free from blame. فَمَنْ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes, and I'm just running through them quickly, the qualities, people that hold on to their amanas, that hold on to their trust, people that observe their prayers. And it's basically how to be decent Muslims and human beings. And subhanAllah, it's these qualities from Surah Al-Mu'minun cover everything, and they're all interconnected. Why? Because a person who has khushu' in their salah is deeply immersed in a personal conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knows what it's like to dialogue with the Creator, or to have that conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be immersed in a meaningful conversation. And so what's the next ayah? عَنِ اللَّهُ مُعْرِضُونَ. When they see vain talk, they don't bother themselves because they're more interested in the conversation with Allah. So when they see wasteful conversation, they don't immerse themselves in it to where they will inevitably fall into sin. Some of the ulama, Sheikh Shanqiti, rahimahullah ta'ala, Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti, said something very beautiful. He said, and then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions those who protect their private parts, and those who protect their contracts, and basically abstaining from zina, abstaining from adultery and fornication, and maintaining modesty and chastity is like your contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very easy to transgress and to be tricky with that. That same quality then carries over into how we enter into business contracts and treaties and make promises and uphold our covenants with people. So it's a connection that we see between those two things, and all of these qualities are connected. And this is a very wholesome description of what a mu'min looks like. What does a believer look like? And how the believers primarily focus their relationship on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the end of Surah Al-Mu'minun ends with a dua seeking forgiveness. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَرْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ Okay, وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَرْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ To say, oh my Lord, have mercy and forgive me, and you are the best of those who show mercy. You are the best of those who show mercy. So subhanAllah, you have all the qualities of al-mu'minun, of the believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them, embodying those qualities that are prevalent and prominent in the lives of our prophets, in the lives of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we follow along and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end for forgiveness and mercy for our inevitable shortcomings. Then comes Surah An-Nur. Surah An-Nur takes its name from verse 24, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. A beautiful ayah that could honestly take up several episodes, so I'm not going to delve into the tafsir of that ayah, but a beautiful ayah in verse 24. And what's the connection between Surah An-Nur and Surah Al-Mu'minun? Surah Al-Mu'minun talks about the believer's composition and the way that the believer molds themselves with worship and character. Surah An-Nur talks about how that mu'min then functions in society when there are undesirable elements that are prevalent around them. So basically, it's putting it to the test now. Here are some of the practical manifestations, the times when you're going to be put to test with how immersed you are in your prayer, how much you avoid vain talk, how you protect your private parts, how honest you are with your covenants and your contracts with people. It's really now how it's put to test. And so these are the, in Surah An-Nur, you have the verses that condemn fornication. You have the verses of hijab, the verses of lowering the gaze, the verses condemning slander, the verses condemning the mistreatment of captives. Basically, all of the things that go wrong when the qualities that are in al-mu'minun are not manifest in a person. This is what happens at a societal level when the mu'minun, when the believers are not applying the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to them in that order. And I want to point to a few highlights here, inshallah, because obviously the main thing is hadithatul ifk, right? The slander of Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And I know Shaykh Abdullah is going to talk about that a bit, inshallah ta'ala, and there's a lot of commentary on hadithatul ifk, on the slander of Aisha radiallahu anha, and what it did to the community of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I want to point to one example of how this connects to Surah Al-Mu'minun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that one of the main problems was if talaqawnahu bi al-sinatikum, that when the news came, you just met it with your tongue. Your tongue had received it and spread it before you even processed it, right? You pressed share without even really confirming anything in the document or paying attention or looking through it. It's, your tongue received it and shared it, received it and shared it. The majority of people that were involved in the slander of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha were not people that had malicious intent. They weren't people that were, they were people whose tongues are way too busy and that had a bad habit of when news and gossip comes, their tongues receive it. Not their minds, not their hearts, their tongues receive it and their tongues immediately share it. And what does Allah say is the first societal quality of the mu'minun in the previous surah? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّهُ مُعْرِضُونَ Those who don't waste their time with vain talk. Those who don't engage their tongues with vain talk. Because if you engage in vain talk a lot, if you engage in wasteful talk a lot, you're inevitably going to fall into backbiting and slander and gossip and those types of things. So subhanAllah, had you applied that guard of the tongue, you wouldn't have even found yourself in this entire drama. You would have avoided it altogether. And wallahi, I think about this now. People, the way that we press share right now, it's a button, right? You press share, you retweet, you post it here, you post it there, you forward. And you better be ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with everything that you just share. Because Naql, the one who shares, is just like the one who originates it. The one who shares it is just like the one who originates it. So when you press share or retweet or spread, or you pass something on in your WhatsApp groups or whatever it is, you better be ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety and for protection. So this is a deep connection that we find between Surah Al-Mu'minun and Surah An-Nur. And by the way, these verses are not there to silence victims. They're there to silence slanderers. There's a process. There's justice in Islam. There's a way forward when people are actually in situations of harm and hardship. This is to silence gossipers and slanderers and people that have bad intentions, malicious intent, that then embroil communities in drama, right? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety and for protection. Two more things, inshallah, then I'll pass it on to Sheikh Abdullah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ يَخْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Let them forgive and pardon. Don't you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive and pardon you? Of course, this was to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to pardon Mistah, who he was giving sadaqa to, who was engaged in the slander of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And I just want to connect it to Surah Al-Mu'minun rather than get into the specifics of that surah. At the end of Surah Al-Mu'minun, what are you doing? Rabbi ighfir warham. Okay, you're asking Allah for forgiveness. And here Allah is saying, don't you want Allah to forgive you? Remember, you make the claim that you want Allah to forgive you and have mercy upon you. So how do you show forgiveness and mercy to people in your life? Finally, 36 and 37 of Surah An-Nur, the believers are focused. They're focused on doing good, and so they don't waste their time in evil. They're focused. The key is to be so focused on Allah that shaitan doesn't have a playground. And so what does 36 and 37 talk about? فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those are directed to this light are found in houses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed to be raised. وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. And his name is mentioned, raised in there as well, remembered in there as well. يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْأَصَالِ. That they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night with these names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. And some of the ulama said this is referring to the masajid, and some of them said this is referring to the homes of the believers, that the believers engage in dhikr in their homes and raise the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their homes and glorify Him in these homes. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the next ayah? رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهُمْ تِجَارَةٌ. That these are people who are not bothered or distracted by trade. وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. No commerce, no profit, no nothing distracts them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa iqam as-salah wa ita'a zakah, and establishing the prayer and giving the zakah, the same qualities that are mentioned in Surah Al-Mu'minun. And why is that? يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. That they are afraid of the day that all hearts will be overturned and all eyes will be petrified on that day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So again, the idea of Surah Nur and Surah Al-Mu'minun, the Mu'minun are focused in a way that they don't get caught up in some of the drama and the sinfulness that's talked about in Surah Nur. So be focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't receive news with your tongue or with your finger. Don't bother yourself with things that are of no concern, and be focused on being from those people who have khushu' in their salah and khushu' in their lives. And we ask Allah to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Tafadhal Shaykh Abdullah.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa la amma ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdata min lisani yafqahu qawli ya rabbal alamin. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. And you know, Shaykh Omar mentioned the beautiful introduction, and that was a verse that I wanted to use to introduce, but mashallah, it's beautiful how, you know, when I was reading this verse, you know, in the chapter of Nur, verse number 15, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, after I was shaitan rajim, اتلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم. Well, also, as Shaykh Omar mentions, when you تلقونه بألسنتكم, you take the news with your tongues. You don't even process and think about the benefits or the harms. You just relay it. And then you say it with your mouths. It's interesting how Allah uses alisina and then afwa, yani with your mouths. And you think of it as something minor, but it's something major with Allah. That's the first thing that is interesting, because Tahir ibn Ashur, he mentions with these 10 verses here, like from 11, you know, onwards to 20, subhanAllah, it's just talking about how the news is relayed and how we belittle it. And it's something great to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there's a great scholar named Fudayl ibn Ayyad, Allah, he's a Zahid. He has many, subhanAllah, beautiful statements that are just amazing. There's one where a man came up to him and he asked him, Kam alayk? And the man said, Situna sana. He said, Li sittina sana tasiru ila rabbika tu yushak and tabluh. You know, Fudayl ibn Iyad, he made this statement. He said, he asked him how old he was. And the man said, I'm 60. And look at his answer. He says, for 60 years, you've been on your way to your Lord and you're almost there. This is the kind of speech that you hear from Fudayl ibn Iyad. And he also said, بِقَدْرِ مَا صَغْرُ الذَّنْبُ عِنْدَكَ يَعْظُمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. He said, as much as you belittle the sin, at that level that you belittle the sin, that's how great it will be with Allah. وَبِقَدْرِ مَا يَعْظُمُ الذَّنْبُ عِنْدَكَ يَصْغُرُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And to the degree of greatness that you hold the sin that you're committing, it becomes minor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, when we're talking about relating news, just as Sheikh Omar mentioned, wallahi, when you press send, or you look in the computer and you laugh, you say, oh, yo, let me share this with my man, let me share this with my friend. And it's about someone's irth, it's about someone's honor, it's about someone's reputation. You know, you want to just get a laugh, and it's something minor. You know, as we talked about earlier, that the sin, the person will look at the sin as, the person that's a sinner will look at a sin like a fly on his nose and just do hakada. So when looking at that, you know, holding these sins to a lesser than it really what it is, and not taking it seriously as something that is major. And as Sheikh Omar mentioned, that some of them were the mu'minun, and some of them were the munafiqun. From them, Abdullah ibn Ubay, Ra's al-Munafiqeen, that he was the one that was the head of the munafiqeen, his plotting and planning to spread this, spread these tales. In any case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on verse number 19, and he says, after a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, inna alladhina yuhibbuna an tashi' al-fahishatu fil ladhina amanu lahum adhabun aleem fi dunya wal akhirah. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. That verily those that like the immorality, that it should be spread among the people of those that have believed, will have a painful punishment in this world and in the afterlife. And Allah knows you and you do not know. Allah knows and you do not know. So Allah says, inna alladhina yuhibbun, and this is important, verily those that like the immorality to spread. It doesn't have to be that you're spreading the immorality. You just like the fact of the immorality spreading. You like to watch the talk shows where the person says, you are the father, or you are the, you know, where it's talking about people that have committed illicit acts. They don't know who their fathers and mothers are. And this is spreading. And we love to watch where people slander one another and talk about one another. It's very important for us to watch our conduct, particularly when it comes to this word of zina. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions in another verse, he says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا زِنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. He associates fahsha, immorality, with zina. Because fahsha is something, it's a fahsh. It's something that spreads, or it's a great amount. And what zina does, it can spread off to people where people don't know who their relatives are, their fathers or mothers are, and it could definitely separate and break down communities. So when one tries to spread that and there is no confirmation of that, and it's not even their business, or they love the fact of it being spread, this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala associates the punishment with just the fact of loving it, liking the fact of spreading this immorality around the earth, which separates a community. And we know that is one of the maqasid of the sharia, one of the Islamic objectives in which the scholars have mentioned of the six. One of them is preservation of the ird, preservation of the honor, and preservation of the lineage. Preservation of the lineage. Anything that leads to preservation of that, Islam is very strict on that. And this is one of them in the chapter of Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues on when he says, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلَيْهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. There's a punishment for them in this life and in the next. And then he says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And that's another qa'idah. It's a very important principle for us to remember. There will be some things in Islam we may not understand the wisdom why. But what's important for you is to understand the one that legislated it and to believe in him. He says, Allah knows and then you don't know. He knows and you do not know. Trusting in his knowledge that is infinite, perfect, without any mistakes or flaws is important for you as a believer to rely on. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا فَضُّ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And if it was not for the virtue of Allah and his mercy, the virtue of Allah upon you and his mercy, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind and merciful. One beautiful point here, and then I will conclude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if it was not for the virtue of Allah upon you and his mercy. In this chapter, this is repeated four times. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ. More than once. And in different contexts. Before, earlier he says, Allah mentions that he will forgive you from tawbah because of the ones that have spread this recklessly. But here when the people just, they make it minor, they don't see it as something major, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is ar-ra'uf, ar-raheem, he is kind and merciful, that he has not punished you. That it is something in this life, he's still giving you a chance because he's kind and he's merciful. Being kind to the believers, as it was mentioned earlier with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You know, the individual that he would spend on, Mistah, spoke about his daughter, Aisha. Can you imagine? If you have a chance to listen to read this story of the Qisas, it's so beautiful. You know, Aisha's tamassuk and her relationship with her mother and her father and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. And this chapter is so beautiful because, you know, when we look at what we're going through, especially in the West, when it comes to these talk shows that we may be watching, things online, offline, how we love to spread tales. And sometimes we consume our time with it. We're human beings. But it's important to realize that the virtue of Allah upon you and his mercy is always there. But when you're negligent, are you going to wake up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes your soul? Please remember to be attentive of those things that can divert you. And fast, also in this month, fast from electronics for a certain time period. Fast from those things that will divert you from that which is most beneficial for most beneficial to you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes that he is ra'ufun rahimun, he is the one that is kind and merciful to his servants. So just remember that when we speak, when we hear things, process it, ask yourself, is this beneficial for me? What do I have? What kind of involvement do I have in this? And if you don't, then stay away from that, turn away from that, and advise those that may be indulging upon that, because that is someone that could possibly be loving the fact of spreading news that is detrimental to other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and bless us all. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair. Beautiful. Barakallah fiqh, Shaykh Abdullah. And inshallah ta'ala, with that, Mufti Abdurrahman, please do take us away. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum. Shaykh Abdullah, I want to say something to you. Shaykh Umar tried to bait me into this again. So he called me on this Quran 30 for 30 in Surah Al-An'am and Surah Ma'idah. He wanted me to speak about halal and the biha, and I didn't do it. He didn't get me. And today he wants me to speak about kullu min at-tayyibati. I'm not going to speak about that.
I'm on your team, man. I'm team the biha. Why do you assume?
TMZ.
Why not TMZ? Why are you assuming bad things of me?
Oh, man, this is strategic behind the scenes planning. I can tell. So I'm not going to speak about that. But before I get into what I want to speak about, Sheikh Omar, I just want to say, say a few things that you and Sheikh Abdullah mentioned about Surah An-Nur. And at the end, Sheikh Abdullah mentioned that, you know, fast from your technology. Sheikh Salman Mullah says it very nicely. He says, we are a nation blessed and cursed by our innovation, right? It's a blessing to have this. Surah An-Nur, honestly, if you look at it, Sheikh Omar, It really teaches human beings boundaries and privacy of others. It doesn't just speak about speaking. It speaks about lowering your gaze. It speaks about saying salam before entering to someone's house. It speaks about waiting outside the house. Like it tells us that people have a privacy, and just like how the Prophet said in Hajjat al-Wada, the people's wealth, the people's property, the people's reputation is sacred. Like today is sacred, like this month is sacred, like this place where I'm standing is sacred, right? Islam, it teaches us boundaries and limits. Islam promotes a sense of brotherhood, togetherness. It doesn't give anyone the license to attack anyone's reputation. It's simply not allowed. And this surah, it gives us the parameters of privacy to a point where it even tells children how to enter into their own parents' house, because parents have also a sense of privacy. Right, and Imam Shafi'i basically, and one portion that I want to speak about just it quickly, it says the people who brought this ifk is Allah says usbatum minkum. They were a group among you, right? It was not an external group; it was an internal group. A lot of times, the different things that are happening in our community is happening because of our own happening, our own doing, right? Imam Shafi'i says, نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا وَنَهْجُ ذَا الزَّمَانِ بِغَرِ ذَنْبٍ وَلَوْ نَتَقَ الزَّمَانِ لَهَجَانَا. Subhanallah, he says, and he says, وَلَيْسَ الذِّئْبُ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَعْيَانَا. He says that, you know, we curse the time that we're living in, oh, it's such bad time, technology, this, that. He says, but if the era could talk about some, if the era had a tongue, it would have said, what are you doing here in 2020? Where are the Sahaba at? When they would hear something, they would just put it away, right? When it would come to a, when the rumor of it will come to a Muslim, he would just say, you know what? مَا تَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا. We can't speak about this. And he says, you don't see a fox eating the meat of another fox, but you see Muslim brothers just, you know, about just taking each other's flesh and just talking about like an aib, how we talk about an ghiba. So that's why this, there's another poem in Urdu. It says, "Tu idr udr ki baat na kar, ye bata ke qafila kyun luta? Mujhe rehzanon se gila nahi, teri rehbari ka sawal hai." He says, don't give me that excuse and that excuse for why this caravan was looted. He says, I'm not worried about the looters or thieves. Tell me, "Tu idr udr ki baat na kar, ye bata ke qafila kyun luta? Mujhe rehzanon se gila nahi." I have no blame. I'm not blaming the thieves or anybody else, but I'm blaming the way you were leading the caravan. Why did you do this? What were you doing, right? So putting that back on ourselves. So that comes back to that's just a small cap on Surah An-Nur I wanted to mention before I get into what I want to speak about. And it ties into it. The third ayah in Surah Al-Mu'minun is a very interesting ayah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. Sheikh Omar, you just ran by it. But to me, this ayah stands out for many reasons. The first reason why it stands out is because it's the first time in the Quran Allah uses the word zakat with fa'ala. Every time he uses the word zakat, he uses ita. Wa'atu zakat, wa'atu zakat. He never uses fa'ala. So that's why, that's the first question to ask. Zakat means charity. Zakat, it could mean voluntary charity or the one that's obligated upon you. That's the first question. The second question is, anytime zakat is mentioned in the Quran, it comes right away with salah. أقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة. أقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة. Over here, salah comes one verse before. والذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون. والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون. There's a gap in between. That's the second question. So it tells you, what does this ayah actually mean? The third thing about this ayah is, if we take it to the meaning of zakat, this zakat was what became obligatory upon the Muslims 15 to 17 years after prophethood. So 2 years or 4 years after Hijrah, zakat became fard. And this surah is a Makki surah, right? This surah is not a Madani surah. So what does this zakat mean over here? And that's the interesting discussion I wanted to just have with the audience today. This zakat, a lot of mufassirin, including Zamakhshari, who is a linguist, he says that this zakat comes from the word zakah yasku. Zakah yasku means to purify, to cleanse. And how another verse in Surah An-Nur, verse number 21, I got my zakah night cap on today for sure. Verse number 21, وَلَوْلَا فَضُّ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَّى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. Surah Al-A'la, verse number 14, there you go. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Surah Al-Shams, verse number 9 and 10, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا.
I can't check you though. There's no way to check you when you're doing this.
You gotta Google it. You have to have Google in front of you. You have to have a Google of poetry and verse numbers when I'm talking. So, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. These words mean purify, to cleanse. And I have 2-3 more minutes left, so I'm going to quickly talk about that. What does that mean? See, there's many words in Arabic that mean cleansing and purifying. There's a word that's tandif, it means to cleanse. There's a word tathir, it means to cleanse from tahara. There's a word tasfiya, safa yasfi, means to cleanse and purify. There's 3 other words that mean that. What stands out about tazkiya? And this is what stands out. Tazkiya, this cleansing process and purification process, it only happens after you heat something so at such a high intensity for the purpose of purification, like we do with metals. In order to isolate the unwanted metals from the primary metals, what do we do? We heat the metal up like gold ore, and it starts, and then it takes away from the shape it's in, from solid to liquid. And when it gets into the liquid, the unwanted material leaves, which is it gets out of its element, which is an interesting thing. Why does Allah say this over here? Is because he's saying that a believer is a person who is constantly concerned about his or her internal purification, right? And this purification, it's not going to be easy. It, like how you have to purify this, it has to be heated to such a high level. Change is not that easy. You know, it's not easy to change from being a person who is intolerant to tolerant, from stingy to generous, from selfish to selfless. It's not easy. No one, and well, even Allah is saying a process of tazkiyah needs to take place. This is not to discourage us. This is not to discourage us, but rather it's to just give us, you know, when someone's going to med school, you don't say, oh yeah, it's going to be that, it's going to walk in the park. You tell them, yeah, you know what, you need to have this thing, you have to have this requirement. So you prepare that person. Allah is preparing us that it is sometimes going to be tough the next time someone slanders you, the next time someone says something bad about you, the next time someone says something bad about your father. It's not going to be easy. No one said it's going to be easy. Change is never going to be easy. But the only prerequisite for this, med school has a prereq, law school has a prereq. Change that can take you to from impurity to purity. How Imam Shafi'i says, عَلَيَّ ثِيَابٌ لَوْ تُبَاعُ جَمِيعُهَا بِفَلْسٍ لَكَانَ الْفَلْسُ مِنْهُنَّ أَكْثَرَ وَفِيهِنَّ نَفْسٌ لَوْ تُقَاسُ بِنُفُوسِ الْوَرَى لَكَانَتْ أَجَلَّ وَأَكْثَرَ. He says, look, if you try to look at my clothes, they're not worth anything. But I have gone through the process of tazkiyah so much that I can challenge you that this is pure and clean inside, you know, not out of pride, but he says, I've been through this process, right? So it's not going to be easy, but the prereq to med school is you do all these credits. Wallahi, Allah is so kareem. He's saying the prereq to change is nothing but fa'il, meaning intention and effort. If you combine intention and effort together, Allah says, I will purify you, I will cleanse you. And then how purified and how cleansed would you get? Sheikh Omar just gave me 2 more minutes. This ayah ties into the ayah number 34 of Surah An-Nur. Then مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ. Ibn Abbas says this nur dhamir is going to the light of a believer. Once this person starts purifying himself and herself and says, you know, I want to change myself and does something about it, then the example of his light is like a niche, which is in the wall. So pretend the niche is a small little place in a wall. The niche, there's a niche inside the body, right? And what's placed in there? A lantern is placed in there. The lantern is the heart of a believer. The lantern has light on its own. And the lantern is not there on its own, but the lantern is encased in the glass, zujaja. And this glass is not an ordinary glass, but it's made from the finest crystal, which has its own light of its own. So the lantern has light and the glass has light. And it doesn't stop there. The oil that's going to light up this lantern is so pure that even before the flame touches it, يَكَادُ يُضِيءُ وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ نَارٌ يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِيءُ. It's so bright and it's so light that, so lit up that before even it touches the flame, it has a light to it. So all three things have a shine to it. And it's saying, the reason why it's saying that is the oil, it's so bright that before it touches the flame, it could light up something. When a person's heart is purified and it's cleansed, before even Quran comes to the person's heart, before even revelation comes, it already has, it's receptive of the wahi, it's receptive of advice, it's receptive of good words. So Allah make us among those who have this purified heart, because whoever attains a pure heart in this world has indeed attained a piece of Jannah in this world. And that's why we have to continue ourselves in this process. And this tafsir of this ayah, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ, is a something to think of, and always thinking about ourselves and always trying to help ourselves internally, just as we're helping ourselves externally. Jazakallah khair for your time. Shaykh, what are you laughing for, man?
On time.
Jazakallah khair. I asked you very politely, I said, no dhabiha, no moon sighting, and no med school talk. And you couldn't honor, you had to bring med school into this.
Why, I'm not, why, what's wrong with med school? All Desi uncles want their kids to be med school doctor, no big deal.
May Allah bless you. We're happy to have you, Sheikh.
Allah, take
care. To the audience, know that it's all in love. We have a lot of banter with Mufti Abdul Rahman, alhamdulillah. And alhamdulillah, I do hope, you know, I do want to share, subhanAllah, last night there was a deep sense, you know, Ustad Tasneem really, 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 I think, shook us, shook our hearts last night. thinking about, you know, one element of this. And then tonight, like, very inspiring and very uplifting. And the entire Quran is uplifting and inspiring. But I do want to just say that it's really a blessing. Alhamdulillah, every night, everyone you've been seeing every night is a member of the Yaqeen team, is a fellow, a scholar at the Yaqeen team, alhamdulillah. So it's just beautiful to experience the diversity and the messaging that you bring. There is no one quite like you, Mufti Abdurrahman. So jazakallah khair. We love having you. And are you doing a three-peat too? Are you on for a third night, or do you only come? Are you only on for two nights in Quran 30 for 30?
There's another place in the Quran that talks about the biha. I'll be on there for sure.
Almost down. There's lots of ayats in the Quran about
hadith. You want me? I'll be here, Sheikh. Oh, if only if Sheikh Abdullah calls me, not you. But I'll be here, inshallah, Sheikh.
Take care. Sounds good. Jazakumullah khair, Mufti Saab. We loved having you on. And inshallah ta'ala, for the rest of you, we'll see you tomorrow night. And then to remind you, the Finish Strong telethon, inshallah ta'ala, on May 13th, inshallah. And then also, by the way, since tomorrow, Surah Al-Furqan, to remind you that in the last 10 nights, inshallah ta'ala, every night at 2 a.m. Eastern, I'm going to be doing an explanation of Ibadur Rahman, inshallah ta'ala, of the servants of the Most Merciful. Beautiful 10 ayat. Or actually 11 qualities that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us at the end of Surah Al-Furqan. So every night of the last 10 nights, inshallah ta'ala, we'll have a 2 a.m. Session reflecting on that, inshallah ta'ala. And maybe we'll pull Mufti Saab. Maybe I'll have Sheikh Abdullah call Mufti Abdurrahman so he can join us for one of those two, inshallah.
Take care.
Allah yabarakatuh, everyone. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
This podcast was brought to you by Yaqeen Institute for Islamic Research, dismantling doubts and nurturing conviction, one truth at a time. Tune in tomorrow for the next episode and subscribe to this series. If you like this episode, you'll love our other content. Visit yaqeeninstitute.org or download our app from the App Store. Until next time, this has been Quran 30 for 30.